if everybody's okay, bump that heat down about 2 degrees. I'm already warm. Y'all good? Okay. Brother Wilson gave me the thumbs up, so Brother Wilson don't get in trouble. Sister Wilson says she was cold before church, so if you have to, you're going to give that sweatshirt to her. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Amen. I'll be real candid with you. I've been studying on faith probably for about 2 months now. I finally felt like I was released to give this to the church, and Pastor asked me to have something ready, and so this is what y'all are getting tonight, so I hope you enjoy it. In a previous Bible study a couple of months ago, I taught on understanding warfare, and we discussed several offensive weapons that we have in our arsenal in which we can use on the offense. However, there is going to come a time in your spiritual journey that you can't or you won't be on offense. As Paul tells us, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." There is going to come a day in your life, and perhaps you are maybe going through this season right now, that you've used every offensive weapon. You've prayed the word, you've invoked the name of Jesus, you've pleaded the blood, you've fasted, you've prayed until there's nothing else more that you can say. You've praised and you have worshiped yourself till you are physically exhausted. You've went through all the offensive weapons that we are given, but you still haven't got the victory. Brother Desmond alluded to always being faithful and always doing what you know to do, but in the end, it doesn't seem like it is enough. Does anybody agree that there's been a time in your life that where you've been faithful? You've been faithful to the things of God. You've done what you're supposed to do, and yet it doesn't feel like anything is moving. Hey, I've been there. So what else is there left to do when the doctor shakes their heads and they turn away and they walk outside of the hospital room, or when the money dries up and you're worried how you're going to pay your bills or put food into your pantry and your refrigerator, when you've done your best but your children follow after strange gods, you're at the end of your rope and you've tied a knot and you're just hanging on. You've exhausted all of your own abilities. You've exhausted the ideas of your friends. Your situation goes beyond asking family for help. When you've done all you know to do, when you've asked for help, but there's still no answer, what do you do? What does the offense of any sports team do when they're out of downs, Brother Dempsey? What do they do? You got 3 outs in baseball. It's not your turn to bat, or you turn the ball over. Those teams go from offense to defense. The same can be said about spiritual warfare. And I don't have time tonight to do a deep dive on spiritual warfare, but as I've been studying out faith, because I know that faith is the agent by which the supernatural will move. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Lord had recalled a time to my mind when I was in a season where my life, where I just went from the offense to just plain giving up. I was taught offense, offense, offense. You read, you pray, you fast, you seek the face of God. But sometimes in our journey, in this spiritual journey, there has to be more, because you're still waiting and you're still waiting. The Bible tells us there is a time to pursue, but there is also a time to stand still. I didn't know that because I had a crisis of faith. I prayed. My mom had cancer for the second time. The first time I prayed, I fasted, I pleaded the blood. I took time off work, went down to her house. I spent time with her. I prayed over her. And they had to take the cancer out by surgery. 2 years later, I get a phone call. I'm at the house. I'm in the laundry room on the back porch. And my mom tells me cancer is back for the second time. I'll be real honest with you. I lost my faith. Because what, in my mind, in my very finite mind, what did I get wrong? What mysterious equation had I messed up? Brother Dempsey, I did everything that I'd been taught to do. I'd been on the offense. I was proactive in fasting and pleading the blood, because guess what? Those things work. They do. Those things absolutely work. But I had a crisis of faith and I didn't understand why. But I believe through this study that the Lord has given me some closure on that chapter of my life, and I want to give you a little bit of this tonight. I know what it's like to pray, fast, talk in tongues till you're drunk, plead the blood, praise until you're physically weak. But what we never talk about is what happens when that doesn't seem to move God. Be real plain with y'all tonight. If in 2025 we are going to see restoration of all things, if we're going to see the miraculous happen, if we're going to see a notable miracle, if we're going to see people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, then we're going to have faith. We're going to have faith. So tonight, we're simply going to talk about faith, especially the shield. Well, up there for y'all, back there for me, the shield of faith. We are all given a measure of faith. That measure of faith isn't speak to disease or illness. It's not to bind the spirit of infirmity, but that measure of faith that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is dealt is just enough for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or what the Bible calls the earnest of our inheritance. I want to draw your attention to verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. And there are two words that jumped off the page at me that I've never noticed before. I'm not sure how many times over the years I've read this particular passage, but never have I noticed, nor had it appeared to me in this manner, two small words that went off like dynamite. It says, above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Paul is trying to draw our attention, or the attention of his original audience, to let us know something. Kids today would call it a life hack or a cheat code, but honestly, Paul was imparting some very concealed truths about spiritual warfare. I know we don't hear a lot about old Slewfoot, the dragon, the adversary, and we don't do that because we don't give him place and we don't stroke his ego. But Brother Dempsey, I believe there's a difference between giving him more credit than he's due and being ignorant of his devices. Because listen, there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that he came to Eve in the garden with was the same thing that he went to Jesus Christ in the wilderness with. Brother Duranis, the same thing that he tempts us with. Nothing is new with him. He has the same old schemes time after time after time. And you would think that after a while we would be not so ignorant to what is going on. But sometimes we are not. Sometimes we are, but most times we are not. Because God has given us every tool and every weapon that we need to overcome the adversary. If you don't believe me, go to the back of the book. Revelation says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved their life, not unto death. Well, what does that mean? They did what they were supposed to do. They testified about the goodness of God. And in the end, they received victory. Let me tell you, that's not just talking about the saints or the apostles of old in Hebrews, but it's talking about us today. It's talking about generations from now who will still hold on to apostolic truth and say, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm not going to give in to temptation, but I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable in my faith. God has given us both weapons for the offense and for the defense. In the realm of spiritual warfare, there are only a few select pieces that we can arm ourselves with. Why? Why did Paul say, above all? We have some great battle dress mentioned in the preceding verses before we get to verse 16. We have girt our loins with truth. That means we have to have a made-up mind about what is absolute truth. Brother Wilson, there is a thing in this world called subjective truth. And whatever you want truth to be, that is your truth. Now, it may differ from Brother Dempsey's or Brother Desmond's truth, but I've come to tell somebody tonight that truth is etched in stone. It is forever settled. And that is the Word of God. We have to, in our mind, be made up that this book, this Bible, is the truth, and it is the Word of God. We must also wear the breastplate of righteousness. We must have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, anywhere we go is a mission field, and it's a chance to sow the good news of the King. Amen? We always have to be ready. We must have our minds protected with salvation. But above all, as Paul would say, above all, we must wield the shield of faith. But why? Why the shield? What's the significance of that defensive weapon? And then I began to ponder on the shield itself. Can a soldier survive the battle without a shield? Can he? I don't think he could. Not in hand-to-hand combat. You know, our military and our police officers, they have a type of shield. I'm not talking about their badge because that ain't going to protect you. I used to carry a shield on my belt, and I've been hit a couple of times. It didn't protect me. But they have something called body armor. And it deflects. It's impenetrable. It's suited to take a direct fire and save their life. That's the same thing with the shield of faith. So the answer is no. A soldier cannot survive the battle without his shield. I've come to tell you tonight that if you think you're going to make it in this world without having the shield of faith, you're wrong. You're going to have the shield of faith. For it is the shield of faith that takes on direct and fatal shots. For the ancient Roman soldier, it is the defensive weapon of choice. For the Christian, it is the only defensive weapon of choice. The shield of faith has the ability to stop the fiery darts that hell launches at us. Hellfire's a dart and it says you're a loser, but the shield of faith deflects it and proclaims that we have been made overcomers by the blood. Hell may fire a dart and it may be full of lies and deceit, but the shield of faith deflects that one too and declares that the devil is the father of all lies. Hell may launch another dart and it's poisoned with hopelessness, but the shield deflects and declares that Christ came that we may have life and that we may have might have life more abundantly. Hebrews, if you'll pull it up for me, Brother Desmond, Hebrews 11:6. Y'all don't tell Pastor I drunk his good water. That's the only thing up here. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Listen, you can come to church every time the doors are open. You can lift your hands and surrender every time there is a key played on the piano. You may come to prayer meeting every time that we call a prayer meeting. But if you don't have faith, Brother Jose, you're not going to be able to please God. Just because you have the Spirit of God working in and on your life doesn't mean that you are untouchable. Just because you curse that sickness in the name of Jesus, just because you plead the blood over a wayward child, if you do not have faith, then it's all for naught. Psalms, if you'll go to Psalms 127, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 127. Verses 1 and 2, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for He giveth His beloved sleep. Let me tell you, you can do all these tenets of faith, but if you don't have the shield of faith, what are you doing? If you come up here and you get prayer and you don't believe God's going to heal you, is He? Faith is the agent that allows the supernatural to work in the temporal. Faith is the proofing agent of our walk. Jesus prayed for Peter. Luke 22:32 says, but I've prayed for thee. This is Jesus talking directly to Peter. That thy faith fail not. Oh, it's very possible for your faith to fail. Listen, I've put my faith in men, and guess what? They failed me. I've put my faith in an investment, and guess what? I've seen the stock market crash. I've seen that investment account go from, you know, a couple of numbers with a comma and a couple of more zeros, and it shoot right in the toilet overnight. Because we're not called to put our faith into the things of this world, but we are called to put our faith into the man who raised himself on the third day. Amen? He says, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. This is Christ talking to Peter, the same Peter that declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told him in Matthew 16:17, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You mean to tell me that the same man who was having supernatural impartation of the revelation of the mighty God in Christ had to have that same mighty God pray that his faith fail not? That's crazy. When I think about, this is the same guy that Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Lord, you're saying that his faith is going to fail. How's he going to preach the first apostolic message? How is he going to be the one that proclaims that now is the day and the time of refreshing? This dude don't even have it all together. His faith is going to fail. There's somewhere along in his spiritual journey that Jesus tells him, he said, hey, bub, you better listen because there's going to come a trial, there's going to come a test, and it's going to rock you to your core. You better have the shield of faith. You can have the Spirit of God at work in your life, but if you don't have faith, you cannot please Him. Those are not Brother Harper's words. Those are God's words. You can have the Holy Ghost, and if you never stretch your faith, or rather, if you never allow God to stretch your faith, then everything you do is in vain. Faith is a spiritual muscle that must be exercised. Things in the physical, more times than not, mimic the things in the spirit realm. Why? Because we are spiritual beings in temporal bodies. We are not a body with a soul, but we are a soul and a spirit that are housed in a body. Because I'm going to tell you, your body's going to pass away and it's going to go back to the grave, but your soul and your spirit are going to go back to the Creator. And your soul and your spirit are going to live in one of two places. I've spent a lot of time in the gym the last several months. If you can't know, look at me. I've gotten to know the muscle mass, Brother Dempsey, of my arms. They're not where I want them to be, but they're not where they used to be. I know the muscle mass of each of my legs, and I know what they are able to hold. I know they can hold a lot because I was walking around here at almost 310 pounds, so I know they can hold some weight. And I know the muscle mass of my core. I know my limits based on my physical strength. But what we fail to realize is that we have a limitation of our faith if we don't allow God to stretch it every once in a while. I've spent a lot of mornings walking on the treadmill at a 5 or 6 level incline. And in doing so, I began to notice that the more that I did that treadmill routine, new muscles that I'd never seen began to become pronounced. There's also something else that I noticed in this time was that the muscles that I stopped using began to deteriorate. And if you allow me, I like to equate faith as a muscle because I can relate to that. And if you use your faith and you exercise it, it will grow. Romans 10 and 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did you know that preaching and parenting are very similar? 95% of parenting and preaching is repetition. I can't tell you how many times my mama said, boy, didn't I tell you to do that? I've told you 3 or 4 times and you still ain't listening. Who else's mama ever said that to them? Brother Wilson got his hand up. He just because it's repetition. Because we don't know any better. And a lot of times, our problem is we look at a trial or a tribulation or a circumstance that's out of our control, and it's, woe is me. God, where are you at? And instead of looking at the bigger picture and saying, God, what are you trying to teach me? What is it about this circumstance that is trying to stretch or grow my faith? Because I'm going to tell you, the situation that you're going through today is going to cause your faith to grow because the next trial or the next situation that's out of your control is going to take more faith than what you currently have. Do you know why seemingly bad things happen to the children of God? You ever question God? God, why is this happening to me? Why now? Do you know why children raised in church sometimes for no apparent reason just up and leave everything behind? I'm going to tell you, 4 generations before me lived in this truth. 5th generation, one day I just walked away. Questioned if God even existed. I can take you to the very exact place where it happened. Because I would not allow God to stretch my faith. Do you know why it seems like the ones living like hell and in the street always seem to never get what's coming to them? I want to connect some dots. This blowed my mind. I'm kind of simple. And I say a lot of simple things, but this blew my mind. Because I sense that sometimes we cannot make sense of why all hell seems to break loose all around us, and we pray, and it seems like God isn't within a zip code of where we're at. Romans 5 and 3, if you will, Brother Desmond. Romans 5 and 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Anybody ever gloried in tribulation? Anybody ever say, God, thank you for a flat tire on a Monday morning and I'm running late? Thank you for that bounce check that I thought I was going to have money, but that surprise bill came in and I had just me. Anybody else have a kid get sick on vacation and you had to spend the whole time in the hotel room? We don't glory in tribulation because knowing that tribulation worketh patience, it works our patience. My mom used to tell me I was working her nerves. Worketh patience. Tribulation works patience. Hebrews 6, 12 through 15, Brother Desmond. Hebrews 6, 12 through 15. He's on the fly back there tonight. I didn't give him any of my verses ahead of time. It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Listen, Abraham only received the promise because of faith and patience. These two verses suggest that tribulation, or what we would call suffering, is meaningless. There is a point, rather, it is a divine opportunity for spiritual growth and for the supernatural to work in our midst. If every time we went to God in prayer and just rubbed the magic genie lamp and we called upon God Santa Claus to answer all of our problems, what kind of relationship is that? How does that build our faith? You know, make me a wish kind of God. I was going to go somewhere with marriage, but I'm not even going to step into that one. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Know this, all things. Crises, all things. Backslidden children, all things. Unfaithful spouse, all things. Lose your job, all things. All things work together for good to them that love God. I've come to tell somebody tonight that whatever you are going through, it's all for your own good. You may not be able to see it now, but when you look back 6 months or 12 months from now, you're going to say, you know what? I saw God's hand in it now. I couldn't see it then, but He was working it out for my good. Hebrews 10 and 36 says, for ye have need, you have need of patience. They say patience is a virtue, and that tribulation worketh patience. But ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. James 1 and 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 2 and 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? We are saved by grace through faith. James is telling us that the value of faith without corresponding actions suggests that true faith should manifest some type of physical attribute. Faith is an action word. What does that mean? It means, in short, don't let the enemy beat you up all week. And I spelled that W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K. Don't let him beat you to your weak or push a false narrative in your mind. Let him fill you with self-pity and then come to the house of God. And instead of giving God what is rightfully and justly his, you sit on your pew, arms folded, face looking like you ran across a skunk, and all the while withhold praise, worship, tithe, offering that belong rightfully to God because you got roughed up this W-E-E-K. All things work together for good. Not some things. Listen, I promise you, God is faithful and just. He is sovereign. Yes, sometimes we make, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, and I thank God for it. I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, son, call to the ministry. I said, yes, sir. He said, know this, God has factored in your stupidity before he called you. My father-in-law laughed more than anybody else. Brother Dempsey, he factored in all my mistakes. He factored in self-sabotage. He factored in self-pity. Because guess what? All things work together. So he's going to take whatever it is that I'm dealing with right now, and it may take a little while, but he's going to get me to where I need to be because all things are working for my good. What else can you do? You can stand. Not actually stand, Brother Jose. Stand. I knew it when I put that in my note. Somebody was going to try to stand up. Have faith. Be the greatest defensive player you can be. Even if it's just standing solely on the promises of God. Let me tell you, there are times that I come into church and I don't feel anything, but I know this, that if I will continue to do what I'm supposed to do, if I stand on the promise of God that He is the author and the finisher of my faith, that whatever I may be going through, it doesn't give me a right to sandbag my praise or say, you know what, I've had a bad week, so I'm just going to sit with my arms folded. But I know this, I have a word from God, and I'm going to stand on that because regardless of what I'm going through now, this season ain't going to last forever. Has that prodigal came back? No, but I'm standing. Has God came through? Not yet, but I'm standing. Has that illness been defeated? Not yet, but I'm standing. Has your loved one been saved? Not yet, but I'm still standing. Having done all we know to do, sometimes the only thing that we can do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Though they slay me, David said, yet I will trust him. You know what? I was lied on, but guess what? I'm going to bless the Lord. I was given a bad shake this week, but you know what, Brother Dempsey? I'm going to give him some praise. It may not have gone my way in this particular situation, but regardless of what my immediate circumstance dictate, I cannot let that affect my faith. That tribulation, that circumstance, that problem, that unruly child, that ornery husband or mouthy wife, all of that was sifted through God's sovereignty before it ever came and knocked on your doorstep. That circumstance isn't meant to cripple you, and it's not meant to defeat you, but it is a call to action by God. Well, what's he saying? He's saying stand. It was sent to cause something inside of you to become stirred up, to awaken that line of Judah that's in your heart. Well, all I can do is stand. That circumstance that seemed to blindside you was sent as a wake-up call. And it's yelling. It's been a minute since you've really had to exercise your faith. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. All you got to do is stand. It's been a while since you had to really rely on God to be your provider. What are you going to do? Stand. You've been doing and living in the abundance of the overflow, and now it's all cut off. God had to dry up a brook, send the ravens away for the prophet of God to move. Sometimes we get so accustomed to living in the overflow. Sometimes we get so accustomed to living on the supernatural that God says, you know what? I need you to get up and I need you to do something. I'm closing. You can stand. You can actually stand. I don't want to ever, Brother Jose, I don't ever want to be labeled as a doom and gloom preacher. But I want to be a faith preacher. Because when there is nothing left to do, all we have is faith. And the faith is the agent by which the supernatural works. The absence of the overflow isn't a sign that God is displeased with you. It's not a sign that God is going to pronounce judgment on you. It's not a sign that you've been unfaithful or not loyal, but rather it should be a signal to you that the season of rest is over. It is time for faith to be stretched because the next battle is going to require more faith than the last one. I'll tell you this. God is not setting you up for failure. He's setting you up for a future victory. We don't live from abundance to abundance, but He's trying to take us from this present day glory to eternal glory. And if we cannot overcome a little light lifting down here, then how are we going to be lifted on that resurrection morning? That's hard. Above all, we must have the shield of faith. If we ever plan on being victorious, not in this life, but also in the one to come. In life, there's always two choices to be had after you have experienced defeat. On one hand, you can say, you know what, I don't give up. Stand up, knock the dirt from your pants, stand square, ready to go. But know this, there's also an equal negative reaction to the circumstance that we face. And that's just staying down. That's just giving up. If faith is the ingredient that makes it possible to please God, then the equal negative to that is what? Unbelief. Unbelief. I'm going to tell you what, this one really struck a chord with me this morning because I've said this to myself. I've said it in prayer, praying for other people. Sometimes belief veils itself as faith for others. Well, I know God can heal them, but He can't heal me. What kind of crazy nonsense is that? That's not faith. That's unbelief. What He has done for someone else, He will do for you. Because God is no respecter of persons. Well, I know God can restore their marriage, but my knucklehead's gone too far. That's unbelief. That's not faith. I know God will bring their children back home, but mine are hopeless. That's not faith. That's not having faith for them. That's having unbelief for your own situation. I tell you, more times than not, people that experience a miraculous touch of God is not when they are praying or being prayed for them for their own situation, but more times than not that I've seen when people get healed, get the Holy Ghost, or God does something, they are praying for somebody else all the while standing on faith that God is going to come through on their behalf. Why? Because it is faith. Sister Amy, am I telling the truth? I didn't realize that until you looked at me. But that's true. So, one more thing. You're at the end of your rope and you tie a knot and you just hang on. We've been there. We live in the real world. We really do that. That knot in that rope is unbelief. Because faith says, you know what? This may look like the end of the rope, but I know a God who can supply everything that I have need of. Faith is saying, you know what? The faith or this rope may look like the end, but I know a God who can extend more rope at the end of this, and I can just keep on holding on. And guess what? And when you get to where it looks like it may be the end, guess what? God's going to continue to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And so, one more time, before I let y'all go, having done all to stand, stand therefore. This week, the rest of this week, you find yourself in a situation, and you say, you know what, that wasn't nice, that hurt a little bit. You know what, just say, I'm standing. I'm standing. Listen, I wish we would get a culture about ourselves that when somebody asks us what's going on in our life, and we really want to say, well, you know what, the devil's been on my back, he's punched me in the face. You know what, from now on, how about you just say this, I'm standing. Because there's nothing else left to do. You've already prayed, you've already sought God, you've already read your Bible, you've already pleaded the blood, you've already went to God in prayer. So all there is left to do is have patience and have faith. So you know what? I'm standing. I'm standing. Everybody, if you will, lift your hands unto the Lord. Father, we come to you tonight. We're so thankful, God, for allowing us to come and join together once again. God, I ask, Lord, that you would bless the congregation as they go tonight, God, Lord, that you would keep your hand of protection upon them as they travel to their homes, God, and keep them until our appointed time. God, we thank you for the word. May it rest upon our hearts, God. May we feast upon it until the next appointed time. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. If you will, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Remember our announcements. This Sunday, we will have Pastor Darren Davis from Millbrook and Eclectic and Rockford campuses here this Sunday preaching for us. Invite somebody out to the house of the Lord. We will have some stuff on Facebook this week. If you'll share it, like it, remember our young people will have a meeting. That's going to be, I guess, students and parents of our young people, 13 to 18, in the big Sunday school Sunday immediately after service. Thank you. You are dismissed in the name of Jesus. If you have a tithe or an offering, slip it in the back offering plate. Thank you.